Carter Conlon, pastor of the historic Times Square Church in New York City.
Have you noticed that there's a death spreading across our nation very, very quickly? A death to civility, a death to morality, a death to unity, a death to a sense even of well-being. There's a death passing over the nation.
Welcome to this week's A Call to the Nation with Carter Conlon in a most powerful message about faith and prayer. It's about understanding the power of God when we pray, and it's an equally powerful reminder of the basics in understanding who God is. Here's Carter with an introduction to today's message.
The message that you're about to hear was preached at Times Square Church in one of their recent Tuesday night prayer meetings. I am told that it was one of the most explosive, in faith, prayer meetings that has ever happened at Times Square Church. People were literally shouting for the glory of God as something of faith began to enter their souls, and they began to see loved ones and people that they know as casual acquaintances throughout their day who seemed to be in such horrid captivity, suddenly released, enlightened, and making their way to the house of God. It's a message about faith. It's a message about believing God. It's a message about praying in a way that so few people, perhaps in our generation, really yet are to understand. It's a message about getting back to Bible basics in our prayer and an understanding of who God is, what God has done, and what God through Jesus Christ is capable of still doing in our time. You and I have to learn to believe and understand that God is willing to do the miraculous. We believe that Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I challenge you to listen to this message with an open heart. Listen to it with a prayerful heart. Listen to it with a desire to see God move again in the supernatural and do in the lives of people what only He can do. Remember today that when Jesus stood in the pulpit at the beginning of His ministry, He declared that the intent and purpose of His life was to open prison doors to those that are bound, to set the captive free, to heal those whose wounds could not be healed by any other means, to give sight to those who couldn't see a way forward, and to give strength to those who were so poor in their own resources that they saw no way forward or out of their dilemma. God still answers prayer, and when people pray, miracles still happen. You and I must believe it. We have the history, we have the testimony, and even more importantly than that, we have the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of each of our hearts. This is indeed a time of captivity, but we serve a God who delights in setting the captive free. It's time to pray.
I'm going to ask you to bear with me and maybe give me a little more time than usual tonight in this segment that we call Thoughts on Faith and Prayer. And it's from Acts chapter 12. If you have that on whatever device, if you have a Bible or whatever device you use, it's from Acts chapter 12. Now it's a time, it says that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. It's a time when the society feels emboldened to move its hand against the testimony of God and the Word of God. These times throughout history repeat themselves over and over again. When kings and nations begin to rage against God, they want to cast off all of the restrictions on their behaviors. They want no rules, they want no boundaries, they want no borders, and ultimately they want no consequence. Then it says he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. There's no end to what evil will do when evil begins to get the upper hand. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now this is a moment when the society is beginning to rise up against the testimony of God. They're beginning to take down the witness of God, the men of God, in this case, the preachers of the Word of God, those associated with Christ, and moving now to go, really, realistically, to go against the foundation of the church, because Peter was declared to be one of the pillars of the early church in his generation. And the devil is reaching his hand against this man of God, going after the very foundation of those who say they know the risen Christ and those who claim to walk in the power of God, hoping to snuff it out, may I put it this way, in its infancy. Now, there's an interesting, some little interesting interjections. If you follow along with me in verse 3, it says, now it was during the days of unleavened bread. Now, this was all happening at the time. If you go back in history, where God was about to deliver his people out of Egypt, he was about to do it miraculously, but he gave them an instruction to go into their homes and to begin to partake of the bread that he provided and to eat it without leaven. Now, leaven in the New Testament speaks of corruption. It speaks of that which, if it gets into it, it can literally corrupt everything it touches. It can spread through an entire body. And it speaks to you and I. Now, this is happening against the church. Just as there is a rise, may I call it that, of intolerance towards the Christian worldview in our generation and that which represents Christ. But it was the days of unleavened bread. It was the days, I believe, that God's calling his own people to remember that I called you to eat of that which I provided for you and eat it without hypocrisy. It's time, folks. It's time for you and I to eat the words of this book without hypocrisy. It's time for us to read the Bible and not explain it away. It's time for us to read the Bible and read it the way it speaks and obey what it says. And have a heart to say, God, I'm going to do it your way. The liar must learn to speak truth. The thief must learn to work with his or her hands. The gossiper must repent before God and say, I'm not going to do this anymore, because out of the same mouth cannot proceed blessing and cursing at the same time. There has got to be a conscious decision in the hearts of God's people. I'm not playing games with God. I'm not playing games with this moment in history. There is a power that is available to us when we pray, but it's not available to the casual associate of Jesus Christ. It's not available to the game player. It's not available to the person who comes to church just to get some kind of pacification for their mind and yet go out and continue to live in a way that they know is wrong in the sight of God. We're living in a moment in history where God wants to move his hand in miraculous power again, but he will do it through a people who take seriously what it means to have a living relationship with the Son of God. And so Herod moves his hand. Now he arrests Peter, puts him in prison, delivers him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. Now, I've been told, I haven't verified it, I'm told that's about 16 soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. That's also significant. Passover was the time when a spirit of death literally went across the nation that was trying to hold the people of God captive. Have you noticed that there's a death spreading across our nation very, very quickly? A death to civility, a death to morality, a death to unity, a death to a sense even of well-being. There's a death passing over the nation at this moment. But God made a distinction between a perishing society and his people. And when that spirit of death passed over, because his people were obeying him, they were in their homes, they were partaking of the Lamb, they were doing it without hypocrisy, they had expectancy in their hearts that they were being taken on a journey where they were going to be able to praise God and become a testimony of who he is in the earth. They were serious about this thing, folks. They were serious about walking with God and about moving with God. And as death passed over that society, that spirit of death did not touch the people of God. As a matter of fact, life began to touch the homes of the people of God. Light was in their home. Darkness did not touch their hearts. And Herod intended to bring him out after the Passover. Now, that's significant because darkness is motivating Herod to do this. I know that in my heart. And intending to bring him out to say to the people, God may have delivered you once, but he's not going to deliver you again. He's a God of the past, not of the present. And not of the future. The arrogance was astounding of this king. Peter was therefore kept in prison. And the devil's way of saying through Herod, I have the upper hand now. I have the power. I have the ability to do whatever I want to do with you, and you don't have the upper hand anymore. You may have escaped in the past, but you will not escape this time. Intending him, and Peter was kept in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. constant prayer was offered to God. The church of that generation did what they knew they were called to do. They knew that they had access to power. They knew that what could never be done by political influence, could not be done by the hand of man, could not be done by marching through the streets. They knew the power of God was found in the prayer meeting. They knew that when God's people had cried out in the past, miraculous deliverance had come. They knew that back in the days of Egypt, all the people had was a cry unto God, help us. Their children were being thrown in the river and put to death oftentimes before they had a chance to even draw more than a few breaths. They were helpless, they were hopeless, but they cried out and God heard them and acknowledged them as his own people and sent them perhaps the mightiest, next to the cross, the mightiest deliverance in the history of the world. And the people were gathered there praying, as we have gathered to pray tonight, for a society that is hopeless without a divine intervention of God. Situations of captivity where our loved ones, families, marriages, children are not going to get free unless God sets them free. There's no amount of counsel. They are imprisoned. They are guarded. They have been gripped by this moment in this society. Darkness has the upper hand in many of their lives. But we are here tonight to pray. And as we pray, I want you to know we're not just shouting into the wind. We're not just trying to make ourselves feel good. There really is power in prayer. Mountains really do move. Jesus himself said, whatever you pray for, believing. When you ask in my name, according to the will of God, the scripture tells us, you will receive what you ask. It is the will of God that the prisoner be set free. It is the will of God that the blind man be given sight. It is the will of God the wounded be healed. It is the will of God the weak be made strong. It is the will of God the captives be released. It is the will of God the dead in sin be raised to life in Christ. It is the will of God. And so as I choose to live without hypocrisy in Christ, the devil must tremble. Amen. When God finds a people who are willing to take seriously the charge of what it means to be a Christian on the earth. Many were gathered together praying. It says before this, it says the people were gathered and they were praying. Then you go farther into the chapter and suddenly Peter knocks at the door. A girl named Rhoda comes to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Now, who are they praying for? Peter, what are they praying? Oh, God, set Peter free. Oh, God, bring Peter back to us. Oh, God, do what only you can do. Herod has 16 soldiers around him. He's got them locked in an inner prison. He's got his hands in chains. Oh, God. We ask you to set him free. Now, they're sincere, they're praying, but do they really believe? That's why I asked you, do you really believe? Do you believe that God answers prayer? And they said to her, you are beside yourself. You're mad. Can't be Peter. We're praying for him right now. It can't possibly be Peter. She kept insisting, it is him. And so they said, it's his angel. I'm stunned by that. They're willing to believe it's an angel. But they're not willing to believe it's Peter. I said it on Sunday. They're spiritualizing their unbelief. They really don't believe that God will answer. So they have to come up with something spiritual because nobody wants to say, like, we don't really believe he's going to get free. So it must be an angel, maybe a messenger, somebody that's been sent by God to say, Peter's okay, Peter's all right, Peter's going to get through this. And she kept saying, no, it is Peter. It's him. Now, Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door and they saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished that what they were praying for actually came to the door of the prayer meeting. Wouldn't it be something if tonight, wouldn't it be something if people started coming from everywhere? Wouldn't it be something if they suddenly started leaving restaurants? They started leaving bars. They started leaving clubs. They started walking from Times Square. They don't even know why. They just started walking down towards the prayer meeting. Now, I shared it on Sunday. There's really not a tremendous measure of faith. They have faith, but it's kind of regulated. I call it regulated faith, that God can do kind of this much. And we'll be happy with that if he does that. They didn't really fully believe that there's any way that Peter could ever get out of this prison. As they're praying, Peter is asleep. He's bound with two chains and he's between two soldiers. I want you to think now of people in New York City in their apartments. There's a lot of people that are probably trying to sleep about now. They're bound with two chains. There are devils of hell guarding them, guarding the door, guarding the hallway, not wanting them to get out of addiction, despair, hopelessness, feelings of suicide. The devil would be whispering, take your life, take your life, take your life. Even an ex-missionary, can you imagine? Take your life. It's not worth living. Die, die. And the guards kept the door of the prison. Now suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood by him and a light shone in the prison. Do you believe that God can still shine a light in places? He struck Peter on the side and raised him up and saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. In other words, get up. The angel said, gird yourself. Put your clothes on. Put your shoes on your feet. Don't you love the practicality of God? Just giving us, get your clothes on. Get up. Put your shoes on. And he said, now follow me. So he went out and followed. And he didn't really fully know what was being done to him. He thought he was in a dream. And they came past the first and the second guard posts. Guards didn't even see them. I have no doubt the Lord just blinded these demonic guards and they didn't see a thing. And they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street. And immediately the angel departed and Peter shows up at the prayer meeting. Now I want you to hear me on this. God led Peter to a prayer meeting. That's where he led him to, a prayer meeting. Do we believe, do we have the courage to believe that God can begin to lead people to his house to pray again? To a prayer meeting where people are gathering. It doesn't have to be this one. I've been asking the Lord to stir up prayer meetings all over the city. Let park benches become altars. Let prayer meetings, let people just start walking the park and they see people praying. Can I pray with you? Can I join you? They're just prayer meetings. Start breaking out everywhere. Prayer meetings in restaurants. Prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. Do you believe that God can do that? I do with all my heart. I do. I do. But it all started with somebody somewhere praying with whatever faith they had. And they started praying saying, you have got to set our brother free. You've got to somehow minister to him. You've got to somehow come into his place of captivity. You've got to do, Lord, what only you can do. And I happen to believe that as we pray tonight, God can do that. I happen to believe he can visit people in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, in Queens, in Staten Island. I happen to believe he can invade. There's no apartment door that can keep him out. I happen to believe he can go into restaurants, bars, as we pray tonight, and light starts coming into dark places. I happen to believe he can speak to people and say, get up and get out of here and find a place to pray, who have never had that thought for years come into their heart. I happen to believe that God is able to do that. I believe it with all my heart. I believe we're on the edge of a spiritual awakening in New York City. When all hell seems to have the upper hand. When everything seems to be against Christ and the testimony of God, when anybody who believes in biblical morality is being vilified, when the devil would love to take down every voice that stands for Jesus Christ, I happen to believe this is the most fertile ground in the history of this city for a spiritual awakening right now. People are sick of sin. They are sick of hopelessness. They are sick of addiction. They are tired of empty relationships. They're tired of looking for entertainment that never satisfied. There's a famine. The prodigal sons, the prodigal daughters are tired of being in the field where there's pig's food. They want to get up and they want to come home. And if you and I have the courage to pray tonight, the courage to believe, not some ambiguous prayer, but start naming people. Start naming them by name in your office building, in the place where you live, in your home, in your family. Name their names and say, God, bring them to the prayer meeting. Bring them here. Bring them now. Let me not be shocked or surprised when they suddenly get up and have a desire to go to the prayer meeting, have a desire to have a changed life. And their testimony is, I have had an encounter with God. A light came into my darkened mind and my darkened heart and my darkened home. And I felt somebody telling me to get up and get dressed and get to the house of God where people are praying. This is the moment we're now living in this society. This is the time. It's the time for you and I to believe. It's the time for us to pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayer, forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's the promise of God. That's the word of God. I don't have to water it down. I don't have to settle for second best. I don't need an angel at the door. I'm praying for people. I'm praying for men, for women, for children of all races, colors, and places, all ways of life. Praying, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. No matter where they are, touch them, deliver them, and bring them home. That's the cry of my heart. That's why this prayer meeting is happening on Tuesday night. That's why it's gone worldwide, because Jesus Christ is coming soon for his church. But before he comes, there's going to be a shout of glory. It might be in the midst of the fire, but there's going to be a shout of glory in the house of God. Praise be to God. My prayer is, oh God, bring them in. I don't care if they jump and dance in the aisles. I don't care if they burst into tongues in the middle of my message. I don't care. Just bring them into the house of God. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Fill them, fill them, fill them, oh God, with your Holy Spirit. For people have no chance to walk with God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you again the first question. Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that he can?
Do you know how much you're loved by God? Do you have any idea? He didn't come and die for you because you were perfect. For me, because we needed him. We couldn't get to heaven without him. Because we were flawed, deeply flawed, all of us. From the inside out, we had no hope. None of us had any hope. See, there's no people closer or farther from God. We were all far from God. And he came in to get us because he loves us. That's why he died. And he loves you so much that there's no way our minds can actually comprehend it. We can't fully understand the depth of his love. We can talk about it, sing about it, but we can't fully get it, how much we're loved by God. But we can open our hearts to it and we can let him embrace us. There's nothing you could do tonight but just let him cover you. Your flaws, your mistakes, your sins, your struggles, your things you've said and done. All you can do is lift your hands and just let him cover you. And say, thank you, Father. And it's surrender. It's just like, you died to forgive me, so I'm just going to let you forgive me. I there's no preconditions. I just let you forgive me. You died to give me power over my enemies and the things in my life that are trying to destroy me. So I lift my hand up and let you put the ring on me. It's all I can do. It's my part. My part is to let you put the garment on my shoulders and let you put the ring on my hand. And then all I can do then is lift my foot and let you put the shoes on me. It's all you require of me. And I'll walk with you, Lord. I'll tell people what you've done for me. It's not about performance. It's about your mercy. It's not my performance. It's what you did. It's what you did on the cross. That's what it's all about. So I'm going to ask you to just open your heart tonight. And just, you did well that you came to pray. But watch what God will do for you now.
The message today has been brought to you by Carter Conlin, pastor of Times Square Church. For more information, log on to tscnyc.org. That's tscnyc.org. Plan to be with us next week for A Call to the Nation with Carter Conlon.